So tonight we're on, for those listening, we were discussing the husband improvement course. It's like recovery. It's never completed. It's a continual process. All right, quiet. We're having fun. It's Super Bowl night. We have some people came. I'm not here by myself. And we're going to be covering into action. We covered the first two pages, 72 and 73, last week. And that kind of sets the table. There are not a lot of pages on the fifth step. It's only really four pages. But most of the information is, of course, in the chapter How It Works on step four. And then they give you information on what we're trying to do up to this point on page 72. And then they give you some warnings if you don't do this step. And then they talk about who we're going to share it with, and we'll pick it up with that tonight. And then there's some powerful promises at the end of on the next page that we're going to look at that are really, really, to me, the promises throughout the book, but there I counted seven promises at the end of the fifth step. It says, we must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. I think that's true. You have to get the things in your head out. You have to get them out and expose them to somebody else so you can lose power over you. Rightly and naturally, we think well before we choose the person or persons with whom to take this intimate and confidential step. Now, remember when they wrote this book, there was really no AA. And they envisioned this book would be sent out. People would get it all over the United States. They'd read the book. They'd take the steps. They'd find another alcoholic. So in the beginning, they didn't know who you would find to go through this process with. It says, we think well before choosing the person or persons with whom to take this intimate and confidential step. Those of us belonging to a religious denomination which requires confession must, and of course, will want to go to the properly appointed authority whose duty it is to receive it. Now, I wrote that this is really not confession, the fifth step. We will look at our bad behaviors, but we're not looking at the sins themselves. We're looking at what caused the sins. And what caused the sinful thinking is the self-reliance. And then self-reliance caused me to have fear. Anybody relate to that? And then fear, it says in the 12 and 12, triggered all my character defects. So all the resentments and all of our harms really come out of some self-centered fear. And then it triggers our character defects. And it says, though we have no religious connection, we may still do well to talk with someone ordained by an established religion. We often find such a person quick to see and understand our problem. So I was thinking, we hope they're quick to see and understand our problem. I think he's saying that they don't really know in the beginning, but as you start the process, they'll be quick to see and understand what we're trying to do here. We're trying to determine the exact nature of our wrongs. We're trying to get out the information in our head on paper, confess it to another human being so we can see the truth about it, have someone help me see the truth about my fear and my resentment and my conduct. And so then I can see how my self-centeredness caused it, so I don't have to be that way anymore. We also learn the prayer to be free of fear and free of resentment. And we're supposed to write out a sane sex ideal so that we don't harm people in our relationships again. Of course, we sometimes encounter people who do not understand alcoholics. That still may be most of the people out there, but the thing they do is they respect AA. And I think if you tell somebody you're going to AA, I wouldn't think that you would have to be ashamed of saying that. Remember, AA really isn't criticized at all. You never hear it criticized on TV because we don't have any opinions on anything. And I heard one speaker say, you never see paparazzi standing outside of an AA meeting snapping people's pictures. You know, you never see that. And you never see anything where people go to rehab where people are down on that. It's always a positive thing. People understand that we have a serious life-threatening illness, and that when we come here, we're saying, we can't handle it, we need help. And people respect that. If we cannot or would rather do this, we search our acquaintance for a closed-mouth, understanding friend. Perhaps our doctor or psychologist would be the person. It may be one of our own family, but we cannot disclose anything to our wives or our parents which hurt them and make them unhappy. Yeah, I think we can find different people other than our family at this point in this in 2018. We have no right to save our own skin at another person's expense. Such parts of our story we tell to someone who will understand yet be unaffected. And that's important so that they can give you a different view of things. I think the things that's most helpful to me is that when somebody's doing their fourth step and they're sharing and I can help them see it differently, and then I'll think of things that I saw and talk about and I see them differently. In fact, as I do a fourth step with all these people, I'm doing it again, I see so many things. I could see my behaviors and situations, and I could see how I was and see differently. And then I'm free of it. I don't think you ever really stop your inventory process. And I think it gets better, like people have mentioned, if you're working with someone. I don't think you can replace that. And it says, understanding yet be ineffective. And I wrote here, we have a spiritual malady. We're not bad people. We had wrong directors and we had wrong motives that we didn't recognize. We had self-centered motives, which I thought were really good, you know. They made sense to me to try to make my life better, but they were self-based and they weren't God-based. Now I can see how I had fooled myself. Anybody else do that? Fooled myself into thinking my motives were good. And then as you do the fourth step, you can really see what were your true motives. Here's a rule. I wrote, maybe this is the golden rule of AA. The rule is I must be hard on myself, but always considerate of others. How's that? Makes a lot of sense. And this consideration, inconsideration was one of my biggest character defects. I was always judging everybody, I still do. And I was being inconsiderate. They are who they are. They are the way they are. And we're all God's kids. And if I'm criticizing God's kids, I'm criticizing God, right? Because we're all created. Notwithstanding the great necessity for discussing ourselves with someone, it may be one is so situated that there is no suitable person available. If that is so, this step may be postponed, only, however, if we hold ourselves in complete readiness to go through with it at the first opportunity. We say this because we are very anxious that we talk to the right person. It is important that he be able to keep a confidence, that he fully understand and approve what we are driving at. So hopefully your sponsor's gone through the big book and done the fourth step, and so they can take you through it, and they should understand what you're trying to do. And that he will not try to change our plan. I just thought of something. After Curtis died, I knew this minister who was worked in the recovery field, and he did some counseling. So I thought I'd go see him. I made an appointment to see him. I knew him. He actually worked in the hospital. A great guy. And so I went in there prepared to do, you know, a fourth step. He says, well, let's look at your good qualities. Let's make a list of your good qualities. I said, well, that's not why I'm here. I'm here to try to look at Curtis's death and inventory it and look at, you know, how I feel about that and what my part was in or mistakes and this and that. And so I found, I thought that would be good, but I found somebody in the program. I went and did a fourth step on that by the book, and it really helped me a lot. That was quite a few years ago. But some people do focus on what are our good qualities and this and that, but that's not in the book. We're going to see our good qualities as we let go of the character defects. We'll see the opposite. We have our spiritual checklist. Nothing wrong with looking at your good qualities. We tend to beat ourselves up too much. but we're trying to look at the manifestations of our self-centeredness in the fourth step. When we decide as to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory, and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. Well, what are we about to do? We're about to cast out those things, right? Cast out those things in us that have blocked us from God. Change the way I see my resentment and fear. Look at my conduct honestly. And when you do that, you can see real truth about yourself, about the person I created. I don't have to be that person anymore. So that's why it says write your sane sex ideal, the person you want to be, what you want to bring into a relationship. And why do we have to do it? Because if we don't clean house, then how are we going to live every day? And how are we going to use spiritual tools in step four if we haven't done them when we have resentment or fear today? See, I use them automatically now. And in relationships, how do I look at my behavior today so that I'm not making the same mistakes over and over? Most people approach this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. Now, here's a good line. I think I need to do this every minute. I need to pocket my pride and go to it. Notice we're going to put in our pocket our pride. And then we're going to go to it. And I wrote that this is the beginning of humility, the beginning of submission to a higher power, submitting my will to someone else's. And pride, my self-centered pride, was triggered a lot of my self-centered fear. They were one and the other. There's a line, I was trying to find it when I was writing this thought. It says, on one side of this ruinous coin, it says pride, on the other side it says fear. They're really intertwined. And it's our false sense of pride that makes me so inconsiderate and intolerant. There's a word that when I was listening to this Bible study, self-exaltation. Mm-hmm. Any of you ever guilty of that? Self-exaltation. And that's a form of pride, and it's false. We illuminate, which means we make it visible to the light, every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. So that's the instructions on the step. And now we're going to look at the results. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. That's the first promise. Now, I think, what does that mean? I can look the world in the eye. Well, we talk about that a lot, that when we've looked at our resentments and we're willing to forgive, then we're not afraid of people anymore, right? We're not afraid of anyone coming through the door, that we're willing to make amends. We don't fear them anymore. And so I can look the world in the eye. Can you do that today? Ask yourself. If you can't, if there's something preventing you from looking the world in the eye, look at that person or thing and that resentment and then see. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. What a great promise. And the point is, they say we can be alone in perfect peace and ease. And it was when we were alone, left with ourselves and our self-centeredness, we were full of fear, right? We're angry, we're not in the now, and we're always uneasy, restless, irritable, discontent. And we're beginning to get this sense of ease and comfort. And remember, we used to get ease and comfort from what? Alcohol and drugs. And now I can get this perfect sense of ease and comfort from my Creator, my relationship with Creator. So we're starting to cast out the things that are blocking me from God. The more I've do that, the more I feel at peace. It says, we begin, our fears fall from us. Notice the way the words, it just falls from us. It just falls away. I don't have control of the fears unless I give them to God. And they just fall away. He just takes them away. We say the prayer. I ask God to remove my fear. I could never fix my fears. I used to try by actions that made it worse. And then I do things and then have more fear of the consequences. But they just fall. They're just gone. We see the world differently. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. Remember, that's the whole goal, is to have be awakened to the Spirit, be awakened that there is a power that can work in my life, and we're beginning to feel the nearness of Him. And you notice they use the word nearness, and we say when we came close to Him, He disclosed Himself to us. He can and will if He sought. And it says at the end, I believe, it's, is it we agnostics? It says, it ends, we agnostic. It says, I'll read the last three paragraphs. It's so powerful. It says, what is this but a miracle of healing? Yet its elements are simple. Circumstances made Him willing to believe. We talk about that all the time. He humbly offered Himself to His Maker. He submitted. He had humility to His Maker. And then He knew. And we talk about knowledge of God. And then it says, even so has God restored us all to our right minds. To this man the revelation was sudden. Some of us grow into more slowly, but He has come to all who have honestly sought Him. See, they use that term sought. It's a powerful word. And it's not used trivially in this book. Can and will if you seek Him. God sought. And if I seek Him honestly, He will come to me. And it says, when I drew near to Him, He disclosed Himself to us. And so that's how I get the power. Remember the magnet and the paperclip. And the closer the paperclip is to the magnet, the more power it has. And God's the magnet, and I'm the paperclip. And the closer I move, I feel it pulling me. You know, you can feel the magnet. You can, when you're holding a clip, you can feel it pulling as you get closer to it. And so that's what we're trying to do. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we're beginning to have a spiritual experience. And that's a powerful line, because a lot of people come in here and they want to know, well, what's the deal? What's it going to look like? Well, it's an experience. I can't tell you what your experience is going to be like. That's what we're supposed to share at the meetings. We're supposed to share our spiritual experiences. How what does this mean to me? How am I using this power in my life? How has it changed the way I think and the feel and react? And we're beginning to have this. And then the feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. That's called recovered, when you don't live in the obsession of alcohol. And you can go through the day and you feel like you have a power between you and the next drink. And it's not on your mind all the time. And when it comes, you can say, bad idea. Now, to stay that way requires continuous work, because if I get away from doing these spiritual exercises and stop seeking God, I'll be stuck in self. And then at some day, it'll say, good idea. And you know what? When my mind does that, I won't be able to stop it. I mean, that's how scary this is. I think we don't really recognize how scary this can be. If we get away from our relationship with God, for all of us, that moment will come. And when it comes, at certain times, I won't be able to say no. Now, a lot of people come in and they say, at certain times, I'll know when that is. And then I'll call my sponsor, or I'll read the big book, or I'll say the St. Francis prayer. But it says at certain times we cannot recall the humiliation and defeat. We have no defense against the first drink. So I don't think we talk about that enough, that this is still a scary situation for all of us. It's precarious, but we don't see it if we're doing the deal. And the other thing is our ego is so effective that it can trick us, that it's not scary, and that it's not so bad. And I've been going to meetings, and I don't need to go to Sunday night. He talks too much. I don't like him. I'm going to go to another meeting, and I don't need to read the big book. And I'll really pray once a week, you know. And I mean well. You know how it works. The ego is very subtle. We don't take the first drink the first moment we move away. It takes a while. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. What a powerful thing. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. And here it is. Once again, we feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. Where was that other reference to the broad highway? It's in agnostics, isn't it? I should have looked it up. Yeah, if Duke had played better, I would have known, but I'll get over it. It says, we can only clear the ground a bit on page 55, if our testimony, that's what this book is. Their testimony sweeps away prejudice, which is, remember we taught, a preconceived idea of something, usually a negative one, enables you to think honestly, encourages you to search diligently with yourself. Then, if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. And it says, with this attitude, you cannot fail. I mean, they're not mincing words here, and I believe that. I believe if you have the right attitude and you're seeking God, it'll happen if you take the actions. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. That's what the result, that's what this is all about. My belief, I start out with belief, and then the consciousness of my belief is faith. So I start out with faith, with belief, but I end up with faith. I end up with a conscious belief. I'm aware of it. I can feel it, conscious contact. The words they use are really powerful. So now we'll go back to page 75. Jimmy's not here, but tell him I did the pages really good tonight. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour. And I know some people do this, they time it. Carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Remember, we start out as agnostic. We have no knowledge of God. And now we're starting to get knowledge of God. And what kind of knowledge am I having? I have knowledge that I, with His help, I don't have to be the person I was. I can be the person God created. With His help, I don't have to have resentment. With His help, I don't have to have fear. With His help, I can have conduct that's different and positive in relationships. And it says, taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. It's page 59, I believe. Carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything. We want to try to be as thorough as we can. Now, I really believe that there's, at different levels, you see more things. So I believe if you work with people, as they're doing their steps, you'll see more about your stuff. More will be revealed to you. And I think that's one of the great gifts of working with others. And it says, we are building an arch to which we shall walk a free man at last. Now, we talk about that. They talk about this spiritual structure. Remember, the foundation of this structure they talk about is willingness. And how do we become willing? Pain. We can't go on anymore. We're willing to change. Now, a lot of people come in, they're willing to change, but they're willing to change 90%. They're not willing to change 100%. Or they're willing to change, but their willingness is weak. You can have strong will and weak will. And we need strong willingness because it says, are you willing to go to any length? You know, are you? It says, with one earnest, this is our command, we beg of you to be fearless and earnest from the first. And so that's the foundation. And then belief in the second step, it says, can you now believe, or are you willing to believe that there's a power greater than you that can restore yourself to sanity? It says, if yes, then you've put the cornerstone of this foundation. So the first step is the foundation. The second step is the cornerstone. Now remember, if you have no foundation, you can't build an arch. And if you don't have a cornerstone, the arch won't stand. Now for the arch to stay up, it needs a keystone, right? And it says on page 62, it says, I'm not going to stop playing God. And they tell me why, because I didn't realize it, that I'm not God. Now, it sounds silly, but I think for alcoholics, we go through our life playing God, and then we realize that that's not going to work. Why? Because we're not God. We can't even see it. It's so obvious. And it says, God's going to be my director, right? And he's the principal, and I'm the agent. He's the father, my other child. It says, this simple idea is the keystone of the arch to freedom. And it's very powerful. There are a bunch of promises on page 63 after you make that decision. And to keep the keystone in place, you have to keep doing step three. And to keep the foundation, you have to do step one. And to keep the cornerstone, you have to keep doing step two, you see. If you stop, it's going to fall apart. And so it says, carefully reading, have we omitted anything? For we're building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Now, here's one of the problems they don't tell you. It sounds great. But you build this arch, and you walk through it. But unless you keep doing the work that got you through the arch, you're going to go backwards. Because it's a what's that thing you walk on the airport? They keep going this way. Yeah. You can go backwards, too. And so you have to keep, it says you have to do it every day, a daily reprieve based on your fit spiritual condition. So I think when we walk through the arch, it says in step 10 on page 84, I'm in the world of the spirit. I've done enough work to get through the arch. Now, how do I stay there? How do I stay on that side? And that's page 80, steps 10, 11, page 84 to 88 are the instructions. And it says we have a daily reprieve based on a fit spiritual condition. So I have to be in fit spiritual condition to stay on the other side. And if I start slacking off, then my fit spiritual condition becomes less fit. And then that I can't keep going forward, it's pulling me back. Now here's something, it says, carefully reading the five proposals, we have asked if we have admitted anything, and it says, I'm building the arch, is our work solid so far? Have you done the best you can? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Now remember, if we want this structure to stand, we want it to be able to be pretty solid, right? And have we tried to make mortar without sand? And I don't know, I've been studying the Bible a lot. It says, are you building your house on rock or on sand? You know, and if we're building it on sand, then it's not going to stand. And that may be what happens. People do it, but they slip. The foundation starts, they start slipping in all areas of their life, taking back self. And then the structure starts to fall apart. So that's the instructions on into action on 72 to 75 on the fifth step. I'm going to do something different next week. We've done the steps we took quite a bit. I'm going to do the carry this message, which is really good. It's written differently. It's written by Joe McHugh, and it's, remember, he did the Joe and Charlie tapes, but it's how you would explain the step or do the step with a sponsee. So it's for, if you're new, it's how it should be, you should approach it, and then if you're old, how you should be doing it. So it's a different perspective. It's very good. It's still excellent information. So I went to find my carry this message, and I've given out so many through the years, I didn't have any more. And actually, it was a thought from God, because I was thinking about, well, what should we do? And then God said, I got this thing, it said, do carry this message. So I got two of them, and so that's what we'll do next week. And I read it today. I got it today in the mail. It's really good. And then we'll go to 6 and 7. And with 6 and 7, we're going to look at the Drop the Rock book, which is about character defects. And I'm going to look at some of the information in there, which is really good. And we'll look at the Sandy Beach talk on Drop the Rock and the story about Mary in the boat. So anyway, that's kind of what I'm planning on Sunday night. So anyway, I'll open it up. Thanks for coming on Super Bowl night.